Well, good morning and welcome. We're glad you're here today. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. A beautiful Sunday morning that we can come together and to praise God and to be together. And we're grateful for your presence here this morning. You'll see on the back of your bulletin there's a number of announcements. We just wanted to share with you. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so we look forward to sharing together and praising God for the special women in our lives. So hope you'll be a part of that. And then in 2 weeks, we're excited to announce that we're going to have what we're calling Transition Sunday. And we're going to try to move a little bit quicker, a little bit more towards getting back to some normalcy. And so we're going to have Sunday school. We're going to have an adult class that meets here in the sanctuary. We're grateful for Ronnie Anders is going to lead us in a DVD study of the mysteries of heaven using David Jeremiah's study. So that will be shown here promptly starting at 9:30. Then there'll be a little discussion time afterwards before worship. And the Sunday school for the children will begin. They're going to do every other Sunday in person. So their first in person will be on the 16th as well. So every other Sunday they'll still do their Zoom classroom. And so we're grateful for the chance to do that, and we're going to continue to work towards getting back to some sense of normalcy. And so on the 16th, we're going to try singing. We'll still keep our masks on, but we're going to do some hymn singing. Jerry will be here to play for us, and so we're just looking forward to a great time together in the Lord. We also have Vacation Bible School coming up. We have about 12 students registered so far, and so they're in need of some items that they want to hand out, travel size items, and so you can put those there in the back, there in the box for that purpose. And also there are 4 bags back here for graduates, and so please do a card or write a note or give some sort of greeting and encouragement to those that are graduating. So please make yourself available to those. We do want to thank everyone who did the Facebook, the face covering masks, those that worked on preparing those and handing them out and taking orders. We just appreciate this another way that we can generate funds for a Vacation Bible School. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share? Yes, Bob.
Tracy, when I came down yesterday to check on things, I noticed there was a wheelchair out here on the front breezeway porch. I don't know where it comes from or what it's all about. If anybody knows, I'd appreciate it, but I brought it inside because I didn't want to leave it out there overnight. So I just don't know where it comes from. So.
Could be maybe someone donated it to.
Yeah. So if anybody finds out anything or whatever, please let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Any other announcements? Yes, Dolores?
Birthday cookies back here. Just help yourself.
Okay, it is the first Sunday of May, and so why don't we sing that happy birthday song, and after services, feel free to pick up a cookie on your way out. So let's see, who's having a birthday in May? Okay, next Sunday, Nancy's. I got to raise 2 hands, 1 for Wesley, 1 for Pat. Any others? Let's sing that happy birthday song. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. I also am celebrating a little thing here today. 39 years ago today, I was licensed into the ministry in 1982. So 39 years. One more, we'll make it 40. So let us begin, and we're going to begin worship with this prelude.
Thank you.
The call to worship this morning comes from Psalms 22. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. Would you pray with me, please? Father God, we give you thanks and praise as we come into your house this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you give to us to be a part of your family, to be in the kingdom of God, to share in the things that are coming. And we just are grateful for the many blessings that you've given to us as your children. And so we come this day, Lord, not just to thank you for the things we've got, but to praise you for who you are. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit indeed would be present. Lord, guide us in the week ahead. And we pray that you would illuminate the scriptures for us this day, that we might apply them to our wisdom and apply them unto our hearts. And we pray that you would keep a hedge of protection around our congregation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have our hymn here now at this time. And okay. So if you can see the words and would like to sing along, please do so. So just a reminder before we go into joys and concerns, that we do have an offering box there in the back, and we aren't taking up an offering, but you're welcome to put something in the box there as you're leaving. We want to give you an opportunity to share what's on your heart today, and so who has a joy or a concern? Bob?
Okay, I'd like to remember, of course, Larry and Michelle with their endeavors for this life and what takes also Buddy and Wilma. I think Buddy made mention to you yesterday that
yes.
he's got some kidney stones he's got to have blasted, and Wilma's still suffering from her condition. And we just want to ask a blessing upon our family, our church family, and you, Tracy, and what it takes to keep this ministry intact. We praise you. And for Ralph and Deb and with their endeavors at their home and in their lives, we just ask them to be lifted up. And, of course, our country and our leaders. I won't go any further than that. And Bob, myself, please, oh Lord, I would ask your hand upon me. For the doctors, the nurses, and all the other EMTs and those on the front line, and those that, with the virus, and blessings to those that have recovered. I want to continue to remember Bradley back here, and Dolores is with us again today. We've got some visitors, and we're prayerful, praiseworthy of that. I see Gerald and Brother Sam here today, and Gerald's a wonderful wife, and I can't think of her name. That's wonderful. But anyhow, it's a privilege to have everyone here and be able to enjoy this service.
Amen. Yes.
I want to continue to put Ricky's wife, Jenny, on the prayer list. Mm-hmm.
And Danny?
Put my mom on the prayer list. She starts chemo on Monday. And then Caleb is a joy. He got selected to go to another base in California for 2 months to work on a special project.
Praise God.
So he's leaving next weekend for that. So
he's doing well. Yes, Nancy? Okay. And Frank.
I want to continue to keep our prayers with the fact of my family and the cousin, Artie Harmon, and his wife and family. And also, we want to keep Brother Sam's wife in our prayers. He's not with her, him today, so I assume she's still under the weather. And if you can give a little report, we appreciate that.
Yes.
Let's keep them in our prayers. And Wilton.
Yes.
And any others that may have been suffering from any type of physical issues or whatever it might be.
Thank you. Yes.
Is that Billy Horton, is your moderator here?
Yes.
Billy's mother-in-law had a massive stroke. They don't think she's going to live too much longer. So this is why I'm here today, because Billy is our pastor at our church. And we found some church because he needs to be with his wife at this time.
Yeah.
And his wife's name is Lois.
Yes, thanks for sharing that. We'll need to lift Billy and his family up in prayers. Nancy. Also, I found out my stepbrother and his partner had COVID. They're getting over it. They only had mild symptoms. She apparently picked it up at the office at work, and so it was some of the people at work had it very severely, but they fortunately only had light touch of it. But also found out my youngest niece was in the hospital 2 weeks, was very deathly sick, and came home on Friday. So we're praying. She's very weak, but praying for continued recovery for her.
Brother, I forgot one. Our next-door neighbor, Brother Dean Collins, was just talking to him last evening, and he's still having some issues and problems. As a matter of fact, he had one leg, foot, I should say, removed, and he's having trouble with his other foot with diabetes and so forth. So he's in the nursing home up here at St. Joe.
Okay. Thank you. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. I'm sure there will be other names that will come to mind, and you can feel free to kneel or remain seated, and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Father God, we do rejoice in your presence this day, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come boldly before your throne of grace. And God, we're just mindful of the many blessings that you've already given to us. And so we rejoice when we hear good news of those who've recovered, those who are getting well, and those that have good joys to share about their work. And we just give you the honor and the praise, Lord. We do bring these names before you today, and we know Lord, that you are a good Heavenly Father and that you will move in a tremendous way. And so, Father, we just pray for this pandemic that we continue to hang on. And so we just pray, Lord, for light at the end of the tunnel and getting through. We pray, Lord, for reduction of numbers in our county, in our state, and in our country. And we pray for those that are struggling in very difficult ways in India and with it right now. We pray for the crisis on the Mexican border. We pray for the difficulties that they're having in Myanmar. We ask, Lord, that you might move in a way that would open the right doors for our high school grads and our college graduates as they share in this joyous time of their year of their lives. Lord, we just pray you would help these high school graduates and meet their needs, Lord, and help them know that you're near. We pray for recovery for those family, friends, and loved ones who have COVID and are getting well. We pray, Father, for those who are struggling with cancer. And so we just pray, Father, for the doctors and the nurses and the treatments. Help them, Lord, to get well as well. We think of those, Lord, who are struggling on a daily basis. And so we just pray for our shut-ins. Be with Larry. Meet the needs, Lord, we pray. Be with Danny's mom and Dean. And we just thank you, Father, for continued growth and development in each of these situations. For those who have continued ongoing problems, Lord, we pray you would meet their needs. Pray especially today for Wilma. Help her with her back and the upcoming shots that she'll be getting. Pray that they would be effective. We pray that they would be able to blast Buddy's kidney stones and that, they would pass without lots of pain. We thank, Lord, that you would just bring your hand of comfort on the Harmon family and the loss of Howard this week, and be with Jiggs, that you continue to comfort him, the loss of his brother. And we pray, Father, for the family here, Billy and Nancy, as they are dealing with their mother and mother-in-law. We pray that you would just move in that situation, Father. We think of our shut-ins, those in nursing homes, and those who are at home. Think of David Philpott and Donna, Sinnott, and just Betty Schuff and others, Lord, who aren't able to come out. Pray that you would meet their needs. We think of our country, Lord. Think of our president and his cabinet and advisors, Lord. We just pray that you would surround them with good advisors. Help them, Father, in the decisions that they make and how they affect not only our country but the whole world as well. So help those that are serving, Lord. Protect those that are coming home from Afghanistan. We pray, Father, that you would especially be with Caleb and Elijah. Pray that you would meet their needs. And all leaders, Lord, in our county here and in our church, in our denomination, we pray for wisdom. These are difficult times in which we live. And so, God, would you grant a supernatural abundance of direction and guidance. We thank you for our missionaries, home and abroad. We pray, Father, that you would meet their needs and help them to continue to do their work. I want to thank you specifically, Lord, for the Thomas family in Guatemala, for Evan and Hannah and their son Jude and the eight orphans that they take care of in their home. And we just pray, Lord, you continue to bless them and meet their needs. God, we are mindful of so much that you're doing, and you're able to see the whole world, know everyone in it, in each situation, and you're able to maneuver circumstances and situations for your ultimate glory. And so, Father, we pray you would have your way, pray your will would be done, and teach us as disciples of Jesus Christ how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And at this time, we'll have our next hymn. Thank you. Our scripture reading for this morning, chosen Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. You can feel free to follow along in your bulletin or in the Bible. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And seating in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. This ends the reading of God's Word. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we just pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds now would indeed would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer and our Savior. And we praise you, God, this day. In your name I pray. Amen. Don't we all need some guidance from time to time? We live in a complicated and crazy time. A big world that's made small by technology and spiritual forces that are at work like never before, as Satan knows that his time is near. We have important questions that need answers. Questions about pandemics and politics and our planet. All of these concern us. Guidance is help or advice or information aimed at resolving a problem or a difficulty, especially as given by someone in authority. Guidance can also mean direction that is provided by someone. You know, as I was thinking about how long it's been since my dad passed away, one of the things that I really miss is his advice on cars. If I was having trouble with my car or something, I could take it out and he could either fix it or tell me what to do. Or if I was going to buy a new car, he would help me. And he was a mechanic for over 55 years at the same dealership. And so he knew a little bit about cars, and I know nothing about cars. And so I really miss his advice. You know, there might be a problem that's connected at your work or maybe with your education process or maybe some personal relationship that you need help with. And it's important that we get good advice, get good guidance. We have to be careful about who we ask for advice and where that advice comes from, because not all advice is good. Recently, I saw on the news this week, I didn't know if you heard, but the Bidens made a quick trip to Georgia, and they visited Jimmy and Rosalynn Carter while they were there. I don't know about you, but you know they're getting up there in age. It only showed a glimpse of Rosalynn coming to the door, and she was using a walker. So I imagine maybe Jimmy's maybe bedridden, but at first it seemed like, well, maybe they were just making a nice social call. But then I got thinking, well, you know, I wonder, I bet he was seeking some advice. I bet he was seeking some guidance from someone else who has been a Democratic president. And maybe he was toying with something and wanted to get Billy's take on him. Jimmy is really a good Christian. He is very active, at least he was up until the end here in his church. He taught Sunday school every Sunday. And so I'd imagine he knows not only about politics, but he also knows a little bit about the Bible. And so we can only hope that maybe Jimmy gave the president some good advice, some good guidance. It's been said that wisdom is the best guide, and faith is the best companion. Wisdom is the best guide, and faith is the best companion. William Penn said, "Unless virtue guides us, our choice must be wrong." Benjamin Franklin said, "We may give advice, but we cannot give conduct." And the revivalist Leonard Ravenhill said, "Men give advice, God gives guidance." God gives guidance. So what are you facing today that you need some guidance on? What is it that you need some help with? Who are you turning to? Well, our scripture for today is really this extraordinary events that take place here that's recorded for us in this eighth chapter of the book of Acts. This is the Acts of the Apostles. It's following the resurrection of Jesus, and they're spreading the good news of Christ throughout the region. And so as I was preparing for today, I was looking at this scripture, and the two phrases that kind of really grabbed my attention was in verse 31, said that, guide me, how can I know unless someone guides me? And in verse 39, he says about Philip being caught away. So I'd like for us to take a little look at that today. I've been sharing recently here about how we interact with others, how we greet others, how we respond to others. We're Christians on this side of Easter, and so we should be joyful. We should really be those that people look to for advice and for guidance. And so it is helpful for us to just to kind of reflect on these scriptures. A couple weeks ago, I talked about peace and shalom and how we greet one another. I talked about giving God the praise and the glory. You know, we want to make sure we have a good testimony that we can share and let others know what God has done in our lives. And then last week, we took a look about boldness and influence and kind of mentors that we might have, and whether or not people can tell whether we've been with Jesus. And so today we want to take a look at this true story. And this takes place when Saul, before he becomes Paul, Saul is persecuting this young way, this church, these believers. He's persecuting them, thinking that this is some sort of cult that he wants to kind of get rid of. And we see Philip that's witnessing to the Samaritans. And so we want to kind of dive into this a little bit and see who are we talking about and what's happening here. So first of all, this Philip, we might confuse with being one of the disciples, but this is not one of the 12 disciples. This is the evangelist. So what do we know about him? Well, it's believed that he was born in the first century in Caesarea. That's one of the coastal towns along the Mediterranean. And he was one of the seven deacons that were chosen to help the poor in Jerusalem. And so he must have done a really great job at that, rose very quickly and really served the church well in meeting the needs. And so God begins using him and doing some amazing things with him. And you can see that if you'll turn on to page 1262, I'm going to read verses 5 through 8. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Paul, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." And so here Peter is preaching, and people are responding, and God is following with signs and wonders, and there was great joy in their city. Who could ask for more? A revival was breaking out. And so we see here that Philip was really a part of all of this was happening. His name appears several times in the book of Acts, but we know him best from this story about his baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. This there's also an apocryphal letter entitled The Gospel of Philip that is associated with him. But it didn't make it into the Bible. It wasn't when it was canonized. This third century Gnostic writing was lost for many years. It was lost during the medieval times. And then it was rediscovered by accident. It was buried with other texts near Nag Hammadi in Egypt in 1945. So it's kind of resurfaced since 1945 in our lifetime. It is an interesting little letter, sometime you might want to read. It is thought that this Philip died in Hierapolis in Turkey, and so that's about all we really know about this man who was the evangelist. It tells us in the text that also that then this eunuch was serving for a queen, and her name was Candace. And so we should ask a little bit about who she was. I like the way Edith Dean writes this. She puts this in All of the Women of the Bible. She said, Candace, a term that was applied to ruling queens of Meroe, the capital of the country that later became the Kingdom of Ethiopia. It was at the junction of the Nile and Atrabal rivers. Candace was a hereditary appellation used in the same manner as was the term Pharaoh, applying to the older Egyptian kings. Now, this Candace of Acts ruled in Ethiopia in the time of Paul and the evangelist Philip. And she's mentioned because the eunuch who was in charge of her treasury went from Meroe to Jerusalem to worship and declare that he believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Candace's eunuch was baptized by Philip and took back Christ's message to Ethiopia. It is probable that Candace was the first in high circles in Ethiopia to hear the triumphal message of Jesus Christ. And so many believers today are there because of this incident. When I was in Israel and we went late at night to the Church of the Sepulchre to see the Holy Sepulchre where Jesus was buried, we waited in line, and there was a black lady standing in front of me, and a young lady, and they were talking with themselves, and then we got talking a little bit and found out that she was from Ethiopia. And so people from around the world come to Jerusalem. And so this man was a believer. He was beginning to understand the scriptures, and he went to Jerusalem to worship. So our scripture here today is about his encounter with Philip. And imagine a high-ranking official on probably government business went to from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. It might have been a personal trip. If it was a personal trip, it was at great cost. He had a chariot, and so there would have been men who were carrying that chariot or driving that chariot or would have been an entourage with him. It wasn't safe to travel alone. And so he made this personal journey or a business journey at great expense to go to Jerusalem to worship there. It might have been a religious pilgrimage. Maybe he was coming back from the Passover. But he also, while he was there, probably picked up a scroll. Now, it's no easy thing to get your hands on a scroll. These are handwritten, recopied with great effort on parchment, and they're very expensive. Today, for a synagogue, to get a copy of a scroll, might be just a portion of a book, is thousands of dollars. And so here he has a scroll. The fact that he can even read indicates his status, that he was very well-to-do, trained, wealthy, and he had this great position, this job for the government. And so he's riding in this chariot, and that alone tells us that he's a big wig. He's a big shot. This is somebody important. And he was important enough for God to send Philip go chase him after him. This is one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. And I don't know if you remember, but back in 2018, I preached a sermon entitled Chasing Chariots for Jesus. And so this is one of my my favorite go-to stories because of the supernatural events that take place in it. So imagine, Philip gets this spiritual guidance, and it's not just, well, I think maybe I should do this. He had an angel of the Lord who spoke to him, and so he obviously audibly heard the angel of the Lord tell him to specifically go down a certain road. And this was the road from Jerusalem leading into Gaza. You need to know that the southern part of Judea goes into the desert area and leads over into the Sinai and then into Egypt. And it is very desert, very desolate. There is no hardly any shrubs or anything. There's no grass. It is a very desolate place. And so Philip obediently goes. Now, as I was looking on the map, it is probably, I was trying to take my ruler here and had a map in the back of my Bible and I was trying to measure. It looks to me like maybe it might be up to 50 miles. So can you imagine walking on foot 40, 30, 40, 50 miles until you catch up to, you're not exactly sure who you're going to meet. Finally, when you get near, the Spirit says, go up to that chariot and talk to that guy. And so he had to do some legwork. He had to put some effort into this obedience, which he did. And so he runs up to the chariot, and at that moment, now notice how God orchestrates these things. It's just amazing. That at that moment, he just happened to be reading this section from Isaiah. Probably from the scroll which he just purchased. He was anxious to start reading it. And so he started reading it on the way back. And so he's a little bit not sure who the prophet is speaking about or what the prophet is speaking about. And so can you imagine Philip jogging along, catches up to the chariot, and then he's like, hey, do you understand what you're reading? If it was me, I'd be out of breath. And so the guy invites him up to the chariot. So they're sitting in the chariot and talking, and they begin to ask questions, and he begins to explain. This is a wonderful example. Someone who's hungry for the Lord and wants to know. And God's not going to hide the truth. He's going to keep the truth from them. And so he says, well, how can I know these things unless someone guides me? And so God sent Philip to guide him. And so the eunuch, understanding these things, witnessing all that's taken place, and so they happen to come to some water. Now that in itself is also amazing. It just happened at the right time that they would come to a little bit of water in desert. So he said, hey, there's some water. What prevents me from being baptized? So obviously the eunuch knew about the customs of baptism or with the Jewish tradition, and he wanted to follow suit. This was one way of sealing my commitment, my desire. And so Philip specifically asks him, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God? And he says, yes, he does. And so he is baptized. I want you to hear the words that he was reading that day. And if you'll turn to page 847, I'm going to read chapter 53 of Isaiah. And this is the section that he was reading that he was trying to understand. Isaiah writes these words, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people are he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. As we look back after the cross and after Easter, we know that this is referring to Christ, referring to the suffering servant. But before that time, it might have been a little bit confusing for who the prophet was speaking about. And Philip was explaining this to him. Now, they're baptized, and immediately they come up out of the water, and Philip is whisked away. This is, I think, one of the great supernatural things that take place here in the book of Acts. And Philip finds himself at Azotus, which is the Hebrew Ashdod, and then he goes on to Joppa, and then on to Caesarea. These are all villages along the Mediterranean Sea. If you're a Star Trek fan, you might remember the phrase, "Beam me up, Scotty." Well, this was no beam me up. This was something supernatural, God's supernatural display of power. And so as I took the map and tried to figure out, from Gaza to Azotus is about 20 miles. Somehow, Philip miraculously got 20 miles with the Lord's help. And so it might be a little bit like Ezekiel. And so if you'll turn to page 956 in your Pew Bible, I wanted to read Ezekiel's account. And here's what Ezekiel happened to him. He said, "Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from his place. I also heard the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels behind them, and a great thunderous noise. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then I came to the captives at Tel Abab, who dwelt by the river Shebar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days." And so Ezekiel was astonished at how he got there and spent 7 days there with the believers and sharing with them how the Spirit of God lifted him up and took him. And so in a whirlwind, perhaps, Philip likewise is transported 20 miles to this other place. He has done his task. He's fulfilled his mission. And now the Spirit whisks him away, and the eunuch goes on to Ethiopia to share the good things of Jesus Christ. You know, amazing things can take place. Amazing things can happen when we're obedient and when we're bold and when we follow through with the Spirit's leading. Ethiopia is a mighty country today. It's an old country. There are many Christians in Ethiopia today, and about 63% of the population is Christian. About 32% is Islam, and also Roman Catholicism is there as well. And so a major portion of their society is made up of believers, and they have some really old artifacts that lead back to many centuries. And so, can you imagine from one person becoming a Christian, going back and telling his boss, and not just anyone, she happens to be the Pharaoh of that region, the Candace, she is the Candace. And so imagine the influence and impact that they had. No wonder God went to such extraordinary measures and means to get Philip into the desert and to meet him. And so the outcome is tremendous. It is the Spirit's desire to move the gospel out of Jerusalem into Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. And God's desire has always been that, to share the good news with those around. And so let me ask in closing, how have you been led of the Spirit? How have you been led of the Spirit? Can you think of a time when the Spirit was tugging on you to do something, leading you to say something or to be somewhere, and you felt God directing you and guiding you? You know, oftentimes God's Spirit works with us in a way that we sometimes don't like, and sometimes we'll feel a restlessness. We just won't have an inner peace about something. And oftentimes we will kind of have, we'll kind of be wrestling with it and struggling with it until we kind of discern what it is that God wants us to do. And then when we finally do it, then this tremendous sense of peace comes over us. God can lead us in tremendous ways, and he also leads us by his Spirit. There's a story of a Royal Water Corporation worker who was on his work one day, and it was in another country, and it was out in the countryside, and so there's miles and miles where there's nobody around, and so he's driving down this road, and he comes upon a man hitchhiking, and he's along the side of the road, and he felt a nudge to stop and to pick up the man, and so he kind of resisted that, and he drove past the guy. And so he's going on down the road, and this nudge becomes more of an urge, and almost a voice. It becomes stronger and stronger to turn around and go back and pick him up. And so finally he gives in, and he does so. He goes back and stops and picks up the hitchhiker, and they kind of hit it off right away. They begin a conversation, and they're talking openly and frankly about things that are happening and what's happening in his life and the drama that's taking place. And so the driver senses an opportunity, and says so he shares his testimony with him, what the Lord has done in his life and how it's changed his life and what it's meant to him. And then he stops and asks if the man wouldn't mind if he prayed for him. And the man says he would. That would be fine. And so they pull over along the side of the road, and he lays hands on the man, and he begins praying for him. And he asks God's blessing on his life. So they continue down the road, and they get to their destination, and the hitchhiker gets out and thanks him and goes on his way, and the worker goes on to work. And so he gets there just in time for his shift to begin, and he's not late, and so he's grateful for that. And so they're working, and then they take a break, and so they're in the office, and you know, he's just so excited about the sharing with this guy and what happened. And so he begins telling his coworkers, you know, hey, there was this hitchhiker going down the road today. I went back and picked him up, and we had this great conversation. About that time, one of the ladies in the office began to get emotional, and she began to cry. And he was like, well, what's wrong? And she said, that was my brother. And we've been praying for him for years. And so it meant so much to her. And so now it was very obvious to the driver that the Lord wanted him to stop and to pick this guy up that day. That it wasn't just, you know, he'd been crazy or had this urge in his head, but it really was the Spirit's leading for him to do that. And he said, normally I don't pick up hitchhikers. And he said later in retelling the incident, he said, I'm not a particularly bold person, yet on that day I was bold as brass. Philip was bold as brass that day. He went beyond a few miles. He went many miles to share the good news of Jesus Christ with this one man. And Philip, as an evangelist, got guidance from above. And I suspect if an angel came and spoke to us, it would be pretty clear, right? It would be great sometimes to have that kind of clear guidance. But oftentimes God doesn't do it that way. But think about the extraordinary lengths that God will go to in order to reach one person. And that one person, how much that one person can be an influence to those around them. It can change a whole nation. Maybe that's what we need in our nation. If one person shares the good news with the right person, it could change the events of a whole nation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. And I think that God will move heaven and earth to reach even just one, to reach the one, to reach that one that he desires to have an influence in our world today. Pastor and teacher and author David Jeremiah said, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And he's given us the indwelling strength and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The rest is up to us. The rest is up to us. And so may God give you guidance from above. Would you pray with me, please? God Almighty, our Lord of heaven and earth, we do come to you a bit amazed and astonished at the depth of your love for the lost, and especially we see these supernatural, extraordinary events in the book of Acts. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help us to reach out and help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your direction, to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as we share the good news with those around us. You reached out for us, Lord, while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would give us guidance in this crazy, troubled world in which we live. Help us to know what to do and when to do it. We pray, Lord, for our leaders. They might have wisdom in making right decisions. And we know, Lord, where that wisdom can be found. Your word is truth, and your Holy Spirit is our comforter and our guide. And so, Lord, make your wishes known. Make them clear to us. I pray that you would open doors and close doors, open windows and close windows. Guide us down the right path, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be where we need to be at just the right time, that we might be used of you and give you honor and glory and praise. And so help us, Lord, to discern between good and evil. Help us to know good advice, good guidance from bad. Help us to make right decisions with the information that we have. Guide us, Lord, so that we might be useful in these last days as we reach out to a lost and dying world. Lord, as Satan's time comes to a close, we know things might get worse, and yet we know that you're in control. And so as your servants and as your disciples, help us to be bold, help us to be obedient, help us to go, to share with those that we meet and greet each day. So, Lord, I pray a special hedge protection around this congregation. Move our church, Lord, forward. Help us to be a witness for you, not only here on the ridge, but around the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll be closing our service here with this hymn. Please enjoy this music video, and then we'll invite you to stand for the benediction and the doxology.
Thank you.
now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand for the doxology. Go in peace. Have a great week.